Okay, I was saying this also in the first service, you know. Today, we have Christians, whenever we want to teach the Word of God, and we begin to study it in depth, some Christians just start getting uncomfortable. Some will say, this is not a Bible school now. Why are they teaching us like this? I didn't sign up for a Bible school. You know why they think like that? Because what we call Bible school today, what's a Bible school? Where you teach the Word of God for hours, you take notes, you have your Bible, you study, you know, you research. That was the regular church service in the Bible. It wasn't the exception. That was the regular church service. Regular. That wasn't the exception. That was the regular church service. But today, we have what I call the exception. The exception is what is now becoming the norm, where some people will just quickly read the Bible very quickly, and in fact, today they put the scriptures on the screen, so you don't have to come with the Bible anyway, and then enjoy a brief sermon and you go home. Such that when you intend to study the scriptures for long, that's why in this church we don't have a Bible study. There's nothing called Bible study service. Because all our services are Bible study. All our services. So we expect that the Word of God should be studied in every service. Cell meetings, fellowship center meetings, PCF meetings, church services, Sunday services, Wednesday services. We always ensure and endeavor to have an in-depth study of scriptures. Because that's what we found. Now, because some other places, I won't say many, some other places offer you something else. People do that. They just say, we won't stress you, you know. And I know a church that used to advertise their prayer meetings a month ahead. We're going to pray next month, Saturday, 4th of April. Come around. It's 7 to 8. Don't worry. It won't stress you. That is not a church. That is an entertainment center. Because when people got saved in the Bible, Acts 2:41, by verse 42, they were already, you know, continuing in the apostles' doctrine. Breaking of bread and prayers and fellowship. So do not substitute brass for gold. Never. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ should ask you, why do you abstain from Bible study? Then you say, the reason is that after all, there were other churches who were not studying like this Saints Community Church. After all, they were not doing all this. They just were praying for people. Receive your miracle today. Today is your day. You will not fire but retire. You will not retire but be rehire. When you rehire, you will go here and go here. And you say, this is your time. Just like Melchizedek. And you say, you know, it was connecting with me. Jesus will say, you are disconnected from me. You won't have an excuse. You won't have an excuse. No serious church does Bible study different from its services. No serious church. A serious church studies the Bible all the time. A serious church. And that must be your mindset as a child of God. And I'll tell them in the first service, there was this conversation that I had. And that's why you see that Christians today, every little thing, they are moved. Antichrist is now here, oh. He's now this one, oh. This, and somebody will come and give a revelation, they are shaking. Somebody prophesies, they are shaking. Somebody, you know, because they are not taught the Word of God. Ephesians 4 and 14 says they are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. To and fro. Today you will find pastors come on the pulpit and begin to prophesy about elections. I don't have to be told, it's not the Spirit of God. There are some things you can prophesy easily, that Chelsea will remain 10th place throughout the season. That one is the Spirit of God. Okay, but prophesy. You know, we have pastors prophesying about football games. Nigeria will carry World Cup. That's a joke. That's a joke. Brother Hagin will tell us that nothing of God prophesies elections. It's like prophesying race, gains. But you know, when Christians are not well taught, when they are not well taught, they will think that is the Spirit of God. You should be well taught and know what is the Spirit of God and what is not the Spirit of God. You are not being rude, right? You are only being discerning. Now, I told them that years ago, 16 years ago, I believe, I had this debate, kind of debate with a fellow. He's a pastor. I'm not sure he's still a pastor, but he was a pastor then. And he got a hold of some of this doctrine, the Reformed doctrine, the Calvinism doctrine. So we had this conversation about Pentecostalism, charismatism, charismatic ministries. And he went on and on. But I must admit, yes, in that debate, I won the debate. Because at the end of the day, he succumbed to what I said. Because we went from scripture to scripture. And I ensured I did it in his house. So it was a way game. So I did that. But then, my policy and my principle in life is I open my ears a lot to listen, particularly to good voices. Even when someone is criticizing me, I may appear like I'm not listening to you, but I'll listen to you. And I'll take what I need from what, even if at the end of the day, I'm not convinced about what you stand for, but I don't throw it away. I say, well, there's something he said that's true. Even if this one isn't true. So that fellow said something in the midst of the conversation. He said, he believes, or from his own observation, he used the word many. Now, I won't use the word many, because when you use the word many, that's overgeneralization. You have not been to many places. Don't use the word many. Somebody will say, all over the world, and he doesn't have a passport. I don't know what that means. Maybe he goes by Philip here. So, he said many churches, according to him, but I got the point. That the reason why they go into so many vigils, prayers, prophecy, prophesying, activities, concerts, singing, and all those things, and reduce the level of Bible teaching, is so that people cannot discern. That a church that teaches wants you to discern. Now I agree with that. In fact, when he finished that conversation, I stepped back. Now, we had just had a sense coming to church there, 2007, just a few months. So I stepped back, and I asked myself, I hope that's not what I'm doing. So I had to also look at what we're doing, even though we used to teach the Bible a lot, but it's a time to re-examine yourself. That, you know, so people don't really think. Because there's not much thinking in the Word of God. They only think according to prophecies, revelations, which are of God's Spirit, if they are proper and right. But you see, they really don't know. If you want to find out, look at when we had the COVID and the lockdown. Different things were flying around. And I was just laughing. Really, really laughing. And I think 2 years before, we had just done a teaching on the truth about the Antichrist. Right? Then you could laugh at that. What is this? Because you are taught to discern. So if you are not taught the word of God, you will be subject to all manner of things. They just say, if you want a miracle, raise your right leg. Right? Say, I'm doing it. Raise your left leg. Say, I will fall down. Fall down! You know, and things like that. They will tell you your mother is the one doing you. They will begin to look at her like this. Mommy, they'll say, someone that is attached to your cousin's cousin has put your destiny under a sand. You know, those kind of things will fly. Because you have not been taught the word of God well. So, first and foremost, in the house of God, we must be found teaching the word of God. First and foremost. Above every other activity, we must be found teaching the word of God. A church that teaches the word of God and explains it will never hear me prophesy about elections. It won't do it. Because it will know it's not the Bible. It won't prophesy about football games. It won't do it. Because it knows it's not the Bible. It's not difficult to see. A church that teaches the word of God will not leave you to protest. No, it won't. It won't find basis in the word of God. I was telling them in the first service, because that's not the subject today. I said, we say the voice of the people is the voice of God. That is democracy. But that's not the Bible. The Bible does not support democracy. No, it doesn't. Now, I belong to organizations where we do democracy, and I subscribe to it, and we vote, and I do it. But that's in the world. Now, when we, the leaders of this church, who serve as leaders here, when we have to take decisions. Now, there's some decisions we take and we do voting. If we want to pick designs of flyers, I'm not good in picking things like that. I don't even pick the clothes I wear. I hope you know. So if you see anyone that is not, I will tell the people that are responsible. Seriously, I don't. They say, Pastor, this one will work. I'll ask them. What are you saying, you know? Sometimes they will bring somebody else. Oh yeah, choose. That's how I'm saying, that's how I wear. So you're looking at what I'm wearing, right? I'm wondering who chose this one, okay? That's fine. I don't even choose the house I live in. Who chooses it for me? That's your business. Think about it. So I don't. So when we want to choose the designs of maybe flyers, videos, those natural things, we vote. I say, so who won? They'll say, this one. Use it. But when we come to take decisions that deals with lives, we do not use democracy. Sometimes four people will be on for something that's among your pastors now. Three will not be for it. One will say something else. Naturally, I said the four are right. We say no. We ask each person to explain himself. And then when everybody's done, sometimes we all agree with the one person. Sometimes with the three. Sometimes with the four. If sometimes we don't have direction, we say, let's go pray about it and find out until we come to a full agreement. Because it is not a democracy. You do not choose leaders by democracy. You do not make decisions for a church by democracy. You must be led by the word and by the spirit. Are you here? That's how it's done. For example, if you're in board meetings, if you attended board meetings before, and you want to take a decision in the board, maybe you want to bring in some partners, you have to decide by the board. Some will call themselves and say, Chief so-and-so, I think we should bring in BV International. I thought this guy talked about OL International. I think it's BV. Okay, let's talk about it over lunch. So over lunch, you say, I think I agree with you, but I also have a cousin who wants to do the contract in Port Harcourt. He wants to do the pipeline. No problem. I'll approve that one. So you do the BV. I'll do the... That's plain politics. And that can be done in the world. You cannot bring that to the house of God. You can't say, you know what? What we'll do is this. You will lead song in the first service. I'll lead second service. That second service. Okay, you know what? Don't lead the songs. Lead the other song. Okay, you sing a special number. Okay, we now agree. That's not how to run the house of God. We're led by the word and by the spirit of God. Are you here? So we must know. You must be taught the word of God. Take Bible study seriously. Take it seriously. It's the most important part of the service. When all is said and done, God is going to ask you, what did you do with the Bible? What did you do with my word? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 24. So let me show you Acts 20. I'm going to show you Acts 20 first. Paul, in verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until when? Until midnight. It's believed he began at about 6 o'clock, continued till 12. Now go on. And then something happened, Eutychus fell and died and all that. Now look at verse 11. When he therefore was come up again, let's take it together, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, till what? How many hours Bible is teaching? At least 12 hours of teaching. 12. Jesus took non-Christians to the wilderness and taught them for 4 days. Moses will teach from morning till evening. That is the Bible pattern. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. We're looking at the Ten Commandments into this world, right? Matthew 24. Matthew 24. The word end of the world. Praise the Lord. What's the relationship what we're teaching? Watch this. Verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The last week I told you that word, thy coming. Thy coming and the end of the world. Now when they say thy coming, now when we read the word coming, let's talk like Nigerian, I am coming. Usually is where you are going. That's quite an oxymoron. I'm coming now. That now is not now. It's now. That's another grammar on its own. Now, people oftentimes have read that these disciples are saying, when is the sign of your second coming? It couldn't have been second coming because they were not even aware he was going to die. That's the first thing. When he eventually died, they did not first believe that he rose from the dead. So it's not appropriate to assume that they were talking about what we call rapture. We have a doctrine like that. Now, why am I taking time to debunk this theory of rapture? You will know it next year. Hallelujah. Or 2025 or something. Something I'm going to teach in 2024, 2025. God helping us, we'll do it. Now, that teaching, I remember someone, a minister, he came to me and he said to me, just recently, and he said, do you know that that was what I built my entire ministry on in over 20 years of ministry? He said, this simple explanation just took out everything at once. I said, I've never finished teaching it. Just relax. We'll get there. Hallelujah. And that thinking that Jesus is coming back again. He doesn't have a Bible verse. He's not one. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? I will be ready, ready, I will be ready, I will be ready when the Lord shall come. When did he go to Ikeja? I will be ready, I will be ready, soon and very soon. We are going, who composed I know around again? We are going to see the King soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. We have songs like that. Jesus is coming again. He is coming and he shall reign. Maybe Stamford Bridge. There is no teaching I will not infuse Chelsea. I will find a way around it. Because this is the Spirit of God speaking. You know, we have those kind of teachings. In fact, at some point, there was another one that was even composed for sisters. It was some sisters coming to the fellowship. They were wearing jeans and palming their hair. They said, keep on palming your hair. Keep on wearing your jeans, my sister. Jesus is coming back again. Praise worship song. praise worship song. They look at the sister. Keep on palming your hair. Keep on wearing makeup. Keep on wearing hair, my sister. Jesus. I'm not talking to you guys. Okay. Jesus is coming back again. You understand? And people are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. You don't know where he shall come. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. You don't know when he shall come. And this is the kind of verse of thy coming. If somebody is here and you don't, pay attention please. I got some notes, I want to just quickly check. You don't have the thinking that he is going. And you say, of thy coming. Then you are not talking about a return. Jesus wasn't going anywhere for them to say of your coming. So they were not talking about a second coming or a return. Now, the word coming there, in the Greek, is the word parousia. P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A. Parousia. P-A-O-U-S-I-A. Saints Community Church, I want you to listen very well to this. Now, I taught you that one of the contexts of the scripture is language, right? Grammar. But we said grammar doesn't exist on its own. Grammar is produced by what? Culture. So a word can mean something else in another culture because that is how they use it. So parousia is a Greek word that has its usage. Now interestingly, I checked the Strong's Concordance. The Strong's Concordance will say that parousia is for an arrival. Parousia also says, the Strong's Concordance says it's also a presence. But usually, because I use the Strong's Concordance as well, but because of further studies I've always done, I critically look at it. And I critically look at the arrival or the presence. Parousia. Presence. Now, the cultural usage of that word, parousia, is taken from the Greek word paron. P-A-R-O-N. Pay attention to all these details. It means to enter into a situation. It means to enter into a situation. Now, look up guys, if you are here, and I say, when is the time of your coming? And you are already here. I can't be saying your return. It has to be your intervention. When is the, you know, that intervention, let me explain this to you. Now, if there's a football game, and then there's someone who is your best player. I know your mind is going to Messi or to Ronaldo. Let's leave both of them alone. The best player. And he's your highest goal scorer. And then he's already on the bench or he's right there. Then you say, when are you coming in? Or you're losing 2-0, 2 goals down. Is when are you coming in? Did it go anywhere? Is when are you getting involved? Resolving this issue. Remember we said that he spoke about the coming down of the temple. Right? You remember that? Okay, well. When are you coming into this situation? Because Jesus was already there. Because they know that when he comes into that situation, that is the end of the world. What's the end of the world again? It is a house project, a home project, that is the completion of a building. So when are you getting involved? If this house is coming down, if this temple is coming down, when are you going to build it according to pattern? So paron means when are you going to step in? Now properly, in the Greek lexicon, it's a technical term for the arrival of the owner of a place who alone can deal with a situation. So it's about an intervention. Now, also, it is used majorly for a king or an official, a royal visit. Now, why is it used? Pay attention. It's to claim, when you want to claim a place, when you want to lay claim to what is yours. So in the, wait for this, in the East, where the Greek word is used, it's the royal visit of a king and emperor where his personal presence resolves an issue. So oftentimes, parousia is to claim what is yours. When it's an active word, it's not a mere appearance, it's an intervention. When are you getting involved? Now, so write this text down where you have the use of the word parousia, the coming. Matthew 24 verse 27. Matthew 24 verse 37. Matthew 24 verse 39. Matthew 24, 27. Matthew 24, 37. Matthew 24 verse 39. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 23. We're going to look at it next week. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 17. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Acacius, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Now notice that the coming he referred to had already happened. Are you following? They have done what he said they came for. That's the word parousia. We're still here. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down, let's take it together. So Corinthians 7, 6. Let's go. Comforted us by who? Is that future or it has happened? By the parousia. It had happened. 2 Corinthians 7, 7. For not by his coming only, but by the consolation where he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice more. So the coming there is used for what had happened. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 10. I'm going to read to you verse 9. That I not be seen as if I will terrify you by letters, for his letters say thee are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Everything describes an event that are taking place. 2 Corinthians 10:10. Philippians 1:26. Philippians 1:26. For your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for me by my coming to you again. My coming to you again. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not in my parousia only, but now much more in my absence. So the opposite of parousia is absence. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end that he may be established, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That puts it in the future. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. For the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him. Now he uses the coming as a present tense event. That unto him that you may be soon shaken in mind of the trouble. So that's a present tense event. 2 Thessalonians 2, again verse 8. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his calling or appearance. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9. Whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. James 5 and verse 7. James 5 and verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Verse 8. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. Now pay attention to this very particular one. 2 Peter 1 and verse 16. Let's read it together. Let's go. For we have not, I'll wait for you. 2 Peter 1:16. Let's go. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming and were what? So that coming, they saw it. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ was in the past, is also in the present, is also in the future. In the past, in the present, in the future. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is the promise of his coming? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, of God, wherein the heavens being on fire will be dissolved and the elements will melt with fervent heat. 1 John 2 and 28. 1 John 2 and 28. Now little children, and little children, sorry, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So we have the word parousia used in the past, used in the present, and in the future. No doubt, when the disciples were asking him in Matthew 24:3, they were not referring to the future. They were definitely referring to the past and the present. How are you going to intervene? How? He said the signs will continue. There will be wars and rumors of wars. They are used to that. There will be earthquakes. There will be betrayals. There will be killings. But that's not it. What's the sign that the gospel is what? We have read that before. Come on, go back there. Matthew 24:14. The sign of the coming of Christ is not evil. Evil had been before Jesus became a man. God became a man. No, that's, and everything he listed was already happening. And it happened. Men were being afflicted. Let's start. Take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5. For many will come in my name saying I am Christ, shall deceive many. Was that happening? Was that happening then? You shall hear wars and rumors of wars. What's happening then? Verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation. What's happening then? Verse 11. All these are beginning of sorrows. Then he shall deliver you up to be afflicted. Was that happening before Jesus came? And when he came? Good. Verse 10. Many shall be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Has that been happening? Oh, good. And because iniquity shall abound, love men shall wax cold. And he that endures in the hand shall be saved. Now look at 14. Let's go. And this will, hold on. What is the kingdom? The kingdom has a king. Right? A kingdom is the authority of a king. So, let's go again. Verse 14. And this gospel, let's go. Oh, wait for it, let's go. And this gospel shall be preached where? So what brings the end? Wars? Persecution? Evil? What brings the end? The preaching of the gospel. So pause. The end of the world and the coming of Christ, are they the same? Are they the same? Are they the same? Very well. So what brings the coming of Christ? The preaching of the gospel. Anywhere the gospel is preached, Christ has what?
Come.
Anytime the gospel is being preached, the gospel of his kingdom, Christ has come. Are you following this? So the preaching of the gospel and the coming of Christ are synonymous terms. Are you following this? Are you following this? Matthew 28. All authority, 18, is given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. No! What? Huh? Till when? What's the end of the world? The uttermost passover. So where the church takes the gospel, who is coming in? Is that the king? And his kingdom. Who's following this? Come on. Let me see. Are you getting this? Pay attention. So which means the coming of Christ is tied to the activities of the church. Is not an imaginary thing. No, it's not. Now we said parousia also means that when a king or a royal arrives to take what belongs to him. To take what belongs to him. Now go to Psalm 24. Are you following this, guys? Talk to me. Are you following this? Psalm 24. Someone say, does it mean you don't believe the rapture? I do, but not the kind of rapture you think. Not that disappearing ghost, invisible man rapture. Matthew 24 verse 1. Are you here? Are you in church, guys? Are you cool? Look at it. The earth is whose? And the fullness thereof. The world. And they that dwell therein. For he had fallen upon the seas. Watch this. Established upon the floods. Who shall ascend to the holy hill of God, of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He who had cleansed hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. And that seek him and seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Now pay attention. Whose is the earth? Whose is the earth? Now look at 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. What? And the shall what? Now can you also say the kingdom is coming? Huh? Come on. The King of glory. Now, what is glory? Let me tell you what glory is. Pay attention now. It's going to make sense now. Glory is not something shining. Glory is honor. Now, have you seen a reserved seat before? Where you have an occasion. Then you now have a seat for the chairman of the occasion. So, what happens oftentimes is, maybe they'll say the arrival of special guests, and then they'll say introduction to the high table. So the fellow who is meant to chair the occasion is right there in the audience. So they now say, we want to bring to the high table, the special table, the chairman of this occasion, and then we say, he's already here anyway. I would say, his name is Mr. or so-and-so person. Then he gets up. He's already here. But what is he doing? He's taking his place. So he comes to sit where belongs to him. What has happened is now that is the glory. Where he takes his place is called glory. So the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Where Jesus takes his place. That is the glory of God. The King of glory. Where he takes his place. So let's go back there again. And the King of glory shall come here. Let's take eight together. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. He will lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. What is the glory? The earth is the Lord's. So the coming of Christ is when and where he takes his place. And the way he takes his place is by the preaching of the gospel. Let me see how they're following this. Come on. Raise your hand. Let me see. Are we following this? Now, go to Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1. So, you know, there was a time some people believed that Jesus was coming a particular time. So they went to see, they heard that Jesus was coming a particular day. According to that doctrine. So they went to the bush. Have you seen that practice has been for years? There was even one in America where the man said Jesus was coming soon and the world was coming to an end, and he gathered them somewhere, and you know, all sorts of nonsense was going on there. These particular guys were in Nigeria. So they stayed in the bush. And they kept praying and praying and worshiping God and singing and singing and singing for days. For days and days. It's coming. And Lord is coming very soon. And they were waiting for him till they almost went insane. People now went to go and get them out of the coming of the Lord. Because if you want the coming of the Lord, you will hit the streets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The coming of Christ is the responsibility of the church. Hello guys, are you here? Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. So, use the word Christ is coming. Can you replace it with the kingdom? Huh? Would it work? The kingdom of God. That's what it is. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Even that song shows you are not ready. Acts 1. The former treatise, verse 1, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now let's take three together and slowly. Let's go. To whom also he showed himself alive, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to what? Can we say the coming of Christ?
Is he going to walk?
Can we say it? Come on. Good. And being assembled together, commanded them that they should not depart from hence, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. Look at 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, when he was through teaching them the kingdom, look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That is, will your coming be that Israel that we used to know? Bringing a king and bringing back the authority and the government. Because they were looking out for Israel, like some people think today, Israel will just be reigning everywhere. Say, Jews are behind Apple products. Jews are behind Toyota. Jews. False teaching is not good. You will be so, what is this? Because the scripture was misread. Look at how he answered them in verse 7. And he said unto them, it's not for you, but to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Let's go verse 8 together. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you. You shall be witnesses unto me. And where? The end of the world. If you want the kingdom, go preach. That's the coming. Brother Hagin was one who opened my eyes. And he said in James 5, verse 7 and 8, that the sign of the coming is he awaits the precious fruit of the earth. The precious fruit of the earth are souls. No wonder Paul, when he used the Greco-Roman idea, he said when he appears, he will come with the saints, and those that are alive at his coming will meet him. That's the precious fruit of the earth. The coming of Christ is the whole earth filled with saints. That's what it is. It's not a disappearing event. It's not something that will happen then. People will just disappear from church, only the pastor will remain. Abba now. And the choir too. Usually the choir stays. People you have before. Then the pastor didn't go. Then you have 666. Then one antichrist showed up from nowhere. He's so powerful a guy. He can appear and disappear all over the place. Those things are not in the Bible. They are good for scaring people. To at least come to the altar that they call it. You can scare. I've scared people with it before. When I, one day like that, it was in 1991. It was one or two. It was in the evening. And those sermons are good for night. So I was talking about world affairs because people know I used to talk a lot about politics. So they would call me. But for my secondary school, my first term in school, my first term, right? In school, we had the upper six, the form five, and all that. People will come to my room, my seniors. I was in form one, and they come and ask me, tell us about world events. Who was the president of America? How you? And I'll sit down like this. I give them information. So I used to do a lot of that. I had a lot of information because I used to read newspapers. So they nicknamed me Pressman. Giving everybody information. I was always doing that. In fact, my first term, I wrote an article. Pasted it on the school board. Everybody read it. First time. I said, where is the head of our fish? Because I saw that we're just sad fish. Nobody had the head in the boarding house. Where is the head of our fish? A question nobody had ever asked. My dad said, where did you get the boldness from? I said, we have to make this society. So, because of that, I was able to talk to people about world affairs. I'll talk about Spain, the king of Spain. Something happened in France, in so and so. And people are listening to me like this. I told them, just the same way, these are the signs of the coming of Christ. Already is already night. They don't even know what I'm talking about. So they are afraid. I said, somewhere in Chicago, a baby was born. And the time it was born was very critical. It was 6 p.m. The 6th day of June. 6, 6, 6. And the baby just smiled and said, I am coming soon. And closed his eyes and died. This brother, move back. You need some rapture teaching, man. When I was born, I said, therefore, the coming of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. Well, what if I have CCTV? And I have good security. So as I was preaching, I said, therefore, if he comes and he meets you, even if you should be born again, but you know you have gone back to the world. And you are arguing. Nothing can rescue you when he comes. Because when he comes, there's no more salvation. He comes to deliver judgment. So I began to speak. That evening, even me, I was afraid. You know, they can get to a point that you, the preacher of fear, you are fearing the fear that you are giving people. I was afraid. Hey! Myself, I should check myself. Oh, people came out. And he knelt down. Said, cry to him. Not the faith is this. God is faithful. Those people God saved. That's the truth. Because if they are sins, see, God doesn't wait till you preach the perfect message. If all of you go and investigate the message that got you saved, you come out again. Hallelujah. But many times the concomitance of many things, the Spirit of God just illuminates, just if it's just one fact out of all the junk you heard, you are saved. But the thing that is now not okay is people oftentimes will continue in that teaching. I'm speaking here about 31 years after, and I'm laughing at myself. How did I? And you know, you just conjure stuff up that are not close to the Bible. There is nothing in the scriptures called the second coming of Christ. There is nothing like that. There is nothing like second coming or third coming or fourth coming. There is nothing like that. What we have is the coming of the Lord. I'm going to explain day of the Lord to you later on. Those things are mixed up. Are you learning something here?
Yes,
talk to me, guy. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Are you good? Huh?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, ever since then, if I hear somebody preach about rapture, I'm just laughing. I laugh and I say, what is this? Someone even said, you can go with first flight or second flight. I said, which class? Business class? Premium economy? Or you'll hang with the pilot? That's wrong teaching. Now, those who say it doesn't mean they're evil. Okay? A man can turn. Right? So it doesn't speak bad of anyone's character. But we're just saying this because it's not the word of God. Now, look at Matthew 3. So, pause. The coming of Christ is the coming of his what?
Kingdom.
Where he reigns as king. Anyone in his kingdom here? Anyone in his kingdom? Because when you are born again, you enter. But are there places in the earth that they are not in his kingdom? So for those people, he is coming in. But when the whole earth is filled with his glory, that is the end. Are you here? So the coming of Christ is both in the past, in the present, and where? Who's following this? Is it making sense? Very well. Look at Matthew 3. Hallelujah. You know, John the Baptist was the announcer of the coming of Jesus. His own work was to say, the King, the Christ, is coming. That was his work. He was a forerunner. Go to Isaiah 40. Are you in church? Isaiah chapter 40. Praise the Lord. Isaiah, praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40. Watch this. Verse 1. Comfort ye my people. The Yoruba verse says, comfort ye in your meaning. Anyone got comfort here? Say it, your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Let's take three together. The voice. Let's go again. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So there's a voice that says, the Lord is coming! Prepare his way. Let's take verse 4 together. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord! What's the glory again? Where he takes his place. Come on. And all flesh, can you see it? Shall see it together. Go on. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken this. Praise the Lord. Look at Malachi chapter 3. So there is a voice in scripture that will announce the coming of the Lord, right? Come on. There's a voice that says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Malachi chapter 3. Years ago when we taught things like this, there was a time like that I was teaching, someone just walked out of the service. And you hear him almost, he's like, how can he tell me that? They wouldn't even listen to him. Are you now saying, there is no Antichrist? Hey! This is false doctrine! Are you now saying there is no rapture? Ha! Something that we have believed for how many years? You people take it easy, oh. If you like, believe me for 10,000 years. If it's junk, it's junk. It's not in the Bible. Nowhere. In fact, the concept of rapture is about 500 years ago. It was a man who began to preach it. It's in all our books. I'll share it next week. That concept is not in the Bible. It was a man who began to preach it. It's not in the Bible. Praise the Lord. And people have made millions of dollars. I'm not saying they're rogues, but anyway, they've made money. They're not rogues. Distant thunder. Burning hell. You don't know those movies? You don't know those movies? What else? You should know. You don't know. Which one? Huh? Left Behind. That's recent. Those ones are recent ones. I'm talking about the ones for the 70s and 80s. Distant Thunder, Left Behind. Mark of the Beast. It's a series. We used to use it for evangelism. You watch it. If you are born again, you will check yourself. When that is where you're born again, anything that you are hearing as a Christian that is making you shake about your salvation can't be the Word of God. The Word of God assures you. Because salvation is the work of God's Spirit. Are you following this? Alright, look at this. Malachi 3:1. Let's go. Let's take it together. Malachi 3:1. Let's go. Behold, I wait for you. Let's go. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come. So pause. A sign of his coming is somebody is going to come and talk about it. Can you see it? Who is that person? That means the coming of the Lord, there will be a prophet that will come before it, right? Come on guys, are you with me? Who's following this now? Let me see your hand. Come on, let me know I'm talking to you. So, before the Lord comes, somebody will tell us, he's coming, right? Good. Who is that person? Look at Mark 1. So, the coming of the Lord is usually announced by human messengers. Mark 1. Let's read it together. Mark 1, verse 1. Let's go. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Go. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare. Have you read this one? We read this one earlier. Look at the next one. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye, make his path. Look at verse 4. John! Amen? Go to Matthew 3. Praise the Lord. Matthew 3. Verse 1. Let's go. In those days, came John the Baptist, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven, that means his name. Go on, verse 3. For this is he, by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Let's go. So, who will announce the coming of the Lord? John. So when he was baptizing, and Jesus shows up, he said, this is he. Hallelujah. So, John announced Jesus by what? Preaching. By preaching. The coming of the Lord is by preaching. Look at Matthew 11. Now, when John was put behind bars, he isn't feeling good about it. John is upset about Jesus. Boss, amen. Are you here? Are we talking about the coming of Christ? Is he getting clear to you? Is he getting clear to you? He's not rapture. That rapture thing, we'll come to that later. It's not rapture. Okay, Matthew 11, 1. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed hence to teach and to preach in their cities. Let's take two together. Now John, when he had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And said what? Are you that should come? Or should we? So at this point, as Christ come, who's following the same hand? The coming of Christ. Can we also say, are you the one that should intervene? Are you the one that should come in and take things over? Or should we expect another? Which means John in his mind is expecting a military ruler. Look, is this the Christ we are waiting for? This coming of the Lord, what is going on? Jesus now responded. Look at verse 4. Let's go. Jesus answered and said, go and show John those things which you do hear and see. Let's go. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he. Hallelujah. That is the coming of the Lord. You listening? Notice again, the coming of the Lord comes by what? Preaching. So the coming of the Lord is both past, present, and future. Glory to God. Glory to God. What, to what intent is this coming? Till the earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And then the end shall come. That is the coming of the Lord. That is the coming of the Lord. So the doctrine of Christ returning again is a very, very bad interpretation. Because he never said goodbye. Christ is here. Amen? Amen. Talk to me as if Christ is here. Now, if you are here and I'm saying, when are you coming again? Coming where? I mean, you know now. But I can say, when are you getting involved? Hallelujah. Then you say, preach. If you preach, I'll get involved. Hallelujah. That is the coming of the Lord. That is the coming of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So quick one, I know our time is gone. And I hope you learned something from that. Did you? Amen. So who gave the Ten Commandments? See how we are switching. Oh, who said it's not Ten Commandments, right? Can you remember that? We'll look at that next week again. It's not ten, there's nothing called Ten Commandments in the Bible. Hope that was clear last week. If you're not around and say, yes, sir, I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Who gave? We said Jesus did, right? Jesus gave the Ten Commandments. Or Jesus gave the commandments. He gave the commandments. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. This is talking about the Exodus. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Let's take three together. And did all eat the same spiritual meat and all did drink the same spiritual drink. Now, the word spiritual, pay attention, means by the Spirit. So it means, therefore, that the Spirit was giving them meat, food. The Spirit was giving them drink. For they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was what? Christ. Put your hands in there, let's quickly read another text all over again. We said, end of the world is Jesus coming to fulfill God's house, right? Look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The ends of the world. So as at this time when Paul wrote this letter to Corinth, the end of the world had what? Come. So, Paul, getting back again, Paul is saying the Spirit gave them food. The Spirit gave them food. Isaiah 63. Quickly. You learning something? Come on, guys, you learning something? Isaiah 63. I'm going to read to you verse 7. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, we have things like the Old Testament is the testament of the Father. The four Gospels is the testament of the Son, the dispensation of the Son. You are here, New Testament of the Holy Spirit. Please, all that junk. There's none like that in the Bible. Look at Isaiah 63. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Let's take verse 8 together. Let's read it slowly. Let's go. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. Verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bore them and carried them all the days of hope. Let's take 10 together. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and he fought against them. They rebelled against his Holy Spirit. So did Israel have the Holy Spirit? Come on, talk to me, guys. Did Israel have the Holy Spirit? They did. In Psalm 78 verse 40, he says they grieved the Holy One of Israel. The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, pay attention here, the Holy Spirit was with Israel. The Holy Spirit was said, well, we said Jesus. Now, remember, pay attention to this. When Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He says, even the Spirit of truth, John 14, 16 and 17, whom the world cannot receive because he seeth him not. You know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Then again in verse 20, he said, in that day you will know, said, I'll come again to you, sorry, verse 18 and 19, I will come to you. I thought he said, the Spirit said, I will come to you. Then in 20 he says, that day you know I am in my Father, and in you, and you are in me. In 24, he said, I and the Father will come and make our home with you. I don't get it. The Father? The Son, the Spirit, yes. So in Romans 8:8, Paul says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. Said, but if Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ in you, the Spirit, yes. If the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead, verse 11, dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your own mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, verse 12, we are debtors not to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit modify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Then it says in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba Father. So the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll take this on next week. I'll close here. Who gave the commandments? You say Jesus. Who gave the commandments? The Holy Spirit. You are right. Amen. Who spoke those words? Who spoke those words? Say Jesus. You say the Spirit. You say the Father. You're still correct. So the commandments are the instructions of the Holy Ghost. They are not legalism. They are instructions of the Holy Ghost. No wonder Paul, Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free from the law of sin and death. We assume that the law of sin and death are the commandments. No, that's not the law of sin and death. The commandments are the law of the Spirit of life. And we're going to explore that as we study. Did you learn something today? Are you sure about that? Stand to our feet and give God praise.